Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. Hey, we're excited you're here today as we are completing our series entitled Not Enough. But before we do that, we just want to share some things going on. We've got a lot going on in these coming months here at Life Change, so we're excited about all of them. And one thing going on tonight is our student life. That's grades 6 through 12. That starts at 5 p.m. and goes to 6 p.m. And they are actually, tonight's kind of the recap, and they're gearing up for the student life takeover, which is next Sunday. So next Sunday we'll come in here and it'll be completely different because grades 6 through 12 are going to be running the service, and they've got that, some awesome things planned. They've got some things up their sleeve as well, so this is going to be a Sunday you won't want to miss. So make sure you're here next Sunday, and then also it's going to be a family service as well. A lot of times the kids probably have more fun than us in the kids' rooms in here, but this is one of those services where we're thinking, like, you know what, it's probably going to be super fun. Not that I know sometimes I'm really fun to listen to preach if you're new here, just for warning. But this is going to be one of those services where the kids are going to come in and they're going to enjoy the service as well. So both primary and secondary will be in here. And then we'll still have nursery for next week too. But I just wanted to remind you of that and make sure you bring friends and really support student life. And it'll be a great family service. And then following that, on December 3rd, we're actually going to have our family movie night. So December 3rd, we're going to have our family movie night. And we will actually pair that up with our serve team appreciation. So that all begins at 6 p.m. So you want to make sure you come at 6 p.m. and then bring the family. There's some fun stuff planned. If you walked in here and you saw a giant stocking and you're looking at that in the entryway and you're thinking, like, why is there a giant stocking? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Well, that is part of the December 3rd family movie night. There will be one lucky winner who will take that stocking home with them. All the kids will get a stocking with some goodies, but there's tickets in there, and then somebody will go home with that giant stocking. So get ready to live. Make sure you bring your families December 3rd. And then, finally, a last announcement. This is a little bit, this isn't as family fun or friendly, but our partnership meeting, this is our official church business meeting, is December 10th. And we are officially adopting our own church bylaws. So the last 3 years, we've been a kind of a daughter church. We are a church plant, the daughter church of C3 Church in Pickerington. And we have grown and moved to a place where we can adopt our own bylaws and really become our own church so they can plant more churches and then we can plant churches in the future as well. So exciting stuff, and that's December 10th at 6 p.m. So I think that's it for the announcement. So let's jump in as we conclude this series, Not Enough. And I'm excited you're here with us because what we've been doing is really we've been jumping in and we've been digging to all these struggles that we often have. You know, when you see that blank that says, I am not, you're filling that blank in your head already, right? There's some things that we struggle with. There's some insecurities that we have that we think, man, just keep us from really achieving all that God wants us to achieve. And really, there's times where we say, man, I am not enough. There's times where we say, I'm not smart enough, I'm not attractive enough, I'm not talented enough, and I'm not disciplined enough. There's times we feel this way. There's times we've said this thing out loud before. There's times where we've let that hold us back. But through this series, we've been trying to break that way of thinking, to shatter that way of thinking, and to really understand that Jesus picks us regardless of what we think about ourselves. In fact, one of the main themes throughout this series is this, is that Jesus picks the unexpected and the not good in us. Jesus picks the unexpected and the not good in us. He picks us. He picks you, he picks me, and he picks us even in our insecurities. He picks us even in our inefficiencies. He picks us even in our weaknesses. And those things, those struggles for us, they're really an opportunity for him. They're an opportunity for him to use and to connect us with others so that others can experience his love. Hey, Jesus lived a perfect life for each and every one of us. Then he died on the cross to pay the penalty for all of us, but it didn't end there. He was resurrected. He was risen from the dead to give us new life. And he says, I pick you, right? He picks each and every one of us. And the truth is that we still have these struggles and we think that there's things in our life that hold us back, but yet Jesus still picks us. In fact, there's times where we feel like we're not even spiritual enough. I mean, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, there's times where we feel like we are held back in our own life, where we can't experience spiritual breakthrough because we don't think we're enough. And we struggle spiritually because of that. We struggle with that. And today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about what it really means to be spiritual. And to do that, I think we really need to dig in and we need to define the word spiritual itself. Because if you think about it, Words are funny. Language is funny. In fact, the English language is one of those funny things. Because definitions and words, they can actually change over time. In fact, if you look through the English language, there's a multiple words that have changed over time. One of those words is actually the word nice. Now, you never knew this. The word nice, it didn't start off meaning pleasing or delightful. Like, it didn't start off with being a compliment. In fact, the word nice, it used to mean silly, it used to mean foolish, and it used to mean simple. So you could take that with you this week. That's a freebie. And when somebody makes you mad this week, you can be like, oh, yeah, you're real nice. And you just called them a fool, basically. You called them simple, right? You can go ahead, and that one's free for you. But words change over time. In fact, words even change in our minds over time as well. And because of that, oftentimes we misuse words. Like, have you ever misused a word before in your life, right? You said something that was completely wrong, like it was just completely off and wasn't exactly what you're doing. Maybe you were trying to sound smarter than what you wanted to. Maybe then that kind of backfired. Or maybe you even used a word like you actually just completely misspoke. So one of my favorite stories of this is actually a story of my wife. So I think it was the first Mother's Day at Life Change Church. So my wife, Sarah, right here, she sings in worship. And then when we first started the church, she was the worship leader. So it was Mother's Day. And Mother's Day, if you don't know anything about church, is a big day for churches because everybody, mothers bring their kids, they bring their families. So it was packed out. People were around. And, man, it was just one of those moments where it was feeling like, man, we really feel in the Spirit. We're Spirit-led here, and it was going. We're praying, and then we're worshiping, and then Sarah begins to pray. And then she starts praying over these mothers, right? And then she begins to pray, and she really wants to pray for mothers who struggle with infertility. But the word infertility didn't come out. Instead, the word infidelity came out. Talk about awkward, right? Well, it was weird, too. There was a guy that shouted amen, so I don't know where that was, right? But she quickly cleaned it up and said, well, yeah, of course, those people need prayer too. Like, it's just one of those moments where you're thinking, like, wow. But if you think it, words are really powerful. The definition of words are powerful as well. And sometimes I think we mix up words, and sometimes we even misuse words as well. And the truth is, we do this a lot in Christianity as well. And the word spiritual is one that we do this with. I think many times we define spiritual in the wrong way. And what I want to do today is I want to dig into and I want to define spiritual today. Because instead of looking at the word spiritual and defining it by our tradition or our past culture or even some of our past history, I want to dig in and I want to go back to what Scripture says is defined as. And this is what I believe is defined as. So here's kind of the main point and the big idea for today is this, is that spiritual is defined as being like Jesus. Spiritual is defined as being like Jesus. Right? So to be spiritual, it's more than just praying before your meals. It's more than just praying before you go to sleep. Right? To be spiritual, it's more than just coming to church on Christmas and Easter. It's more than coming to church even every single Sunday. Right? To be spiritual, it's more than even doing what the pastor says and downloading the Bible app and reading your Bible every single day. Right? It's more than that. It's more than the things we post on Facebook to make us look better and to make us look spiritual. It's more than what we say and even how we say it. Right? And again, these are all good things. In fact, a lot of these things, they come along with being spiritual, but it's not the definition of it. Being spiritual is being like Jesus. And this comes from Scripture in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me to 1 John chapter 2, 3 through 6. And if you don't have a Bible, I would challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Not because it's going to make you more spiritual, but because you can learn how to become more like Jesus, right? But download the YouVersion Bible app. It's just an incredible resource that you can take with you wherever you go. And I would say this, our tech team is amazing, and now we do have Wi-Fi back up. So the password, if you want to do that and you want to download that right now, it's Life Change Guest, and the password is super secretive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Tough one. Before your Bible's up, we're going to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 3 through 6, and it says this. It says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So we have to obey his commands, and we have to live as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Whoever claims to be spiritual must live like Jesus. Right? Whoever wants to be spiritual must live like Jesus. Now, if you look at it, this is a pretty tall order because Jesus was absolutely perfect. Like every attribute of the Bible that we strive to be, Jesus is the perfect example of that. Right? He's the perfect example of the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians, right? Jesus is love. He has joy. He's peace. He's patient. He's kind. He's good. He's faithful, right? He's gentle. Jesus has self-control. Like, this is who Jesus is. And this is, we hear this, we're like, oh man, I can't do all that, right? But this is who Jesus is. And even more, if you look at it, Jesus, he's forgiving. He's humble. He's fair. He's generous. He's pure, right? He's holy. He's righteous. He's eternal. He's powerful. He's the full example of grace and truth all at the same time. That's who Jesus is. And if we really break it down, that's what being spiritual is as well. Because spiritual is defined as being like Jesus. And as I say those things, you're probably thinking like, yeah, okay, when I heard this and I came into it, yeah, I didn't necessarily fear spiritual enough. But now I definitely don't think I'm spiritual enough, right? There's no way I act like that all the time. There's no way that people see me being all those attributes all the time. There's no way that everything I say really, really shows all those things, right? You're thinking like, man, how can I even do that? I don't know enough of the Bible. I don't know enough about Jesus to even do that. I don't know how to act like that, right? I don't know how to look. I don't know how to sound like any of those things. And if you're thinking that way, you're probably right. But the truth is that way of thinking is less what Jesus wants us to think, but it's more like the Pharisees thought. It's more how the Pharisees responded. Because the Pharisees, their way and the way they define spiritual, much like we do many times, they define spiritual as just trying to look, just trying to act, just trying to be seen and just trying to be heard in a spiritual way, just trying to be heard in a certain way. Like, this is what the Pharisees did. But it's so much more than that. Being spiritual is about becoming like Jesus. It's moving from just trying to look on the outside to actually becoming on the inside. And if all we're doing is trying to look and have this external appearance, Jesus actually gives us some hard warnings against this. In fact, we're going to spend some time, I'm going to tell you this, like, you might not feel encouraged now, it's about to get even worse, because Jesus drops some knowledge sometimes on people, right? Jesus drops some knowledge in the Bible, and he does so here in Matthew 23, where he really warns us against people who are legalistic and against false teachings here. So if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23, and we'll start off here in verse 1. It says this. It says, then Jesus said to the crowds and his disciples, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulder, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. So here's what the Pharisees did. They defined spiritual as something being done for everything for others to see. It was all about perception. It was all about perception. It wasn't about who they were. It wasn't even about who they were becoming, but it was about what other people thought they were, what other people thought of them. And Jesus is warning against this, right? In fact, everything the Pharisees did was about that external appearance. It goes on in verse 23, and it talks about how the Pharisees did certain things. In fact, they would wear boxes around their neck that would have scriptures. The more scriptures that flowed out of it, the more spiritual they would look. But it was only an external appearance. There was nothing really going on in the inside. In fact, Pharisees, they would show up at special religious events not to worship God, but they showed up instead so that they could be seen by others, so that they would appear more spiritual. In fact, they even expected to be greeted with honor anywhere they went because of their appearance. They were bragging about how spiritual they were. But what it was just an outside appearance because they were defining the word spiritually. They were defining it in the wrong manner. And the truth is, this still happens today. The truth is, we've probably seen this, maybe you've even experienced this in your way, right? You see people post stuff on Facebook to make them look more spiritual. You see people wear certain clothes to make them look more spiritual. You've seen the bumper stickers. You see people say things and word things in Christianese, right, just so that they appear more spiritual. But too many times it just ends there because all that is external. It's an outward appearance. It's an outward attempt to make themselves look better. But they're not fully representing Christ on the inside. They're not fully representing Christ with all other areas of their life. Listen, there's people that just show up for events, right? They just show up for Christmas and Easter because it makes them look spiritual. Because, they, you know what, I'm a Christian, that's what I do, right? I just show up to church, right? The motive for church and going to church isn't even about worshiping God, but it's about other people seeing them. We've probably done this before ourselves, or we've at least seen people do this, right? And what it is, it's defining the word spiritual in the wrong manner. And I think too many times we do this. And Jesus warns us against this. In fact, he urges us to flip the script even by stating this in verse 11. And it says this. It says, "The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted." Too many times, though, what we try to do is we view being spiritual as exalting ourselves. But Jesus tells us to do the exact opposite. But when we don't, when we just try to exalt ourselves, what we end up doing is we end up pushing people away. Instead of becoming more and more like Jesus, what we do is we become less and less like him. And it actually saddens Jesus. It actually breaks his heart. In fact, through this chapter here, we're going to go on and you see seven things that happen. There's seven results from how we, if we define spiritual wrong. There's seven results of it, and they're really woes to us. They're things that break Jesus' heart. And it starts here in verse 13, so check this out. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Listen, when we define spiritual as just an outward appearance, what we're really doing is we're shutting the doors of heaven to others. What we're doing is we're becoming unwelcoming. We become unwelcoming. And listen, this breaks the heart of Jesus. Jesus died for every single person, right? He died for all. Not just for some, not just for the ones that look and appear spiritual on the outside, but he died for all of us. And there's nothing worse than that feeling of being unwelcome, right? Listen, there's probably some of you that have prayed for a friend before, right? You prayed for a family member. And maybe you even prayed so much that you actually got to the point where you had enough courage to talk to them about your faith. Or maybe you even got enough courage to invite them to church. And then you invite them, and maybe you even brought them to church. The worst thing that could happen is when you invite them and then they feel unwelcome, right? That's the worst thing. But that's what happens when we just view being spiritual as an outward appearance, as an external appearance, right? That's what happens because we become judgmental and we see somebody that may be a little different than us, and instead of loving them, what we do is we judge them and we push them away and we become unwelcoming. It's a danger that we all fall into if we don't define being spiritual right. It's a danger we can all fall into. Verse 15, and continues on, and it says this. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you've succeeded, you make them twice as much as a child of hell as you." When we define spiritual wrong, when we're just trying to do everything on the outside, what we end up becoming is we actually end up becoming hypocrites. And here's what's crazy. Hypocrites breed hypocrites. And when we define spirituality as just an external appearance, we produce the wrong thing. We don't produce what God intended us to, but we produce the wrong thing. And you might be thinking like, man, I'm a Christian, but I don't really make disciples. Like, I'm not a teacher. Like, nobody really follows me. Listen, let me just tell you this. More is caught than taught. And there's people watching you. There's people watching every move, right? There's coworkers that you work with that know that maybe you're a follower. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, they're watching how you treat others, right? There's family members that are watching. Your kids are watching you. So let me ask you, what are you producing? What's getting caught from your life? It's less about fitting into a mold in this external appearance, but it's more about becoming like Jesus. Let's go on to number 3 here in verse 16. It says this. It says, "Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it." If you look at what the Pharisees were doing, they weren't defining spiritual by this internal way. They were defining by this external appearance. And what they were doing is they were focusing less on God, but they were focusing more on the physical aspects of the temple. They were focusing more on even outside sources. They were focusing on the gifts of the altar. They were focusing on traditions. They were focusing really on methods. And there's many times we do the same thing, right? There's times where instead of focusing on Jesus, we focus on tradition or we even focus on methods. And what this does is this breaks the heart of Jesus. And it really destroys the church. It even destroys people's faith as well because people get stuck. They get stuck on methods. right? And it can be either way. It can be completely traditional or it can be contemporary. It doesn't matter. Either way, right? When we do that, when we get stuck in the message, we're focusing on the wrong thing. And what we do is we end up forgetting the message. And what it is, it's idol worship, right? We end up worshiping the wrong thing. Instead of worshiping God, we worship methods. We worship traditions. We worship buildings. We worship these things that God never intended us to worship. And it pulls us further and further away from Him. It makes us look less and less like Jesus. And it's heartbreaking to Him. And it all stems back to defining spiritual wrong. That's number three. Number four continues on here in verse 23. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and the Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel." This is when it's all about that outside appearance. Often, we're lacking on the inside. Now, listen, there's things that we're supposed to do. This verse says it, right? There's things we're supposed to do. We're supposed to tithe, but not with the wrong motives, because it's always more about the heart than it is the action. And when we're going and just doing things with the wrong motives, what happens is we end up lacking in justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So number four, what happens is we end up failing at justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And these are some huge characteristics of who Jesus is. This is who He wants us to be. This is what leads others to freedom, right? But when we're misdefining, when we're not defining spiritual the right way, we end up lacking in those things and we fail at justice, mercy, and faithfulness. We fail at becoming who Jesus wants us to be. So number five continues on in verse 25. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean." Again, this goes back just to that outward appearance, right? It goes back to that. We clean that outside, but we're forgetting about the inside. We forget about who we're becoming. We forget about trying to be more and more like Jesus. And all we're doing is we're just trying to appear. And when we do that, this is what happens. We become full of greed, and we become self-indulgent. And this selfishness breaks Jesus' heart, and it pushes others away. So number five is we become full of greed and self-indulgence. And then number six continues in verse 27, where it says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." What happens is we become dead and unclean on the inside. What's crazy about this, nobody sets out to become dead on the inside, right? Nobody sets out to be unclean on the inside. So even our motives to try to be spiritual, they could be right, but we're defining it wrong. So what happens is results that we never intended to be, right? It's not the goal, but sometimes it happens. In fact, you might have even felt this way where you feel like, man, I'm chasing after God with everything I have, but I keep falling up short. I'm chasing after Jesus with everything I have, but I just feel empty on the inside. I feel unclean on the inside. I feel dead on the inside. Are you just trying to do that external appearance, right? This is the result of just trying to look spiritual on the outside and not becoming like Jesus on the inside. Jesus wants so much more for each and every one of us. He wants us to become. And then number seven here in verse 29 says this. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then and complete what your ancestors started." Jesus is issuing this woe to the Pharisees because what the Pharisees have really, what they're doing is they're placing themselves as the final judge and the final verdict. And this is a dangerous place to be. This isn't what really, to be spiritual, this is not what it means. But this is where the Pharisees found themselves, right? It was a dangerous place to be. They found themselves becoming judgmental. And when we're judgmental, we always push others away. The result of just thinking spiritual is an external appearance. The result is becoming judgmental. And it saddens Jesus. In fact, it even angers Him. In verse 33, it continues, it says this. It says, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Right? this is intense. Like this, but this is Jesus talking. He clearly doesn't like this. Like some of you guys are hearing this and you're like, man, wow, I'm super uplifted today, right? Right? Jesus just brought it down, but he did. Like this is what he's saying. He's saying, how can you escape the hell, right? Because you're defining spiritual as wrong. Jesus knows that there's so much more for us, right? He knows that being spiritual is so much more than just rules and regulations. He knows that being spiritual is so much more than just what we look like on the outside. But what it is, it's a connection to our Creator. It's a connection to the one who made us. It's a connection to God. And listen, this is why the vision of Life Change Church is to love people to life change, so that others can experience God. So that others can experience who he is, so they can grow in that relationship, right? And Jesus knows this. He knows that this is what it's about, right? He knows that it's so much more than just that outside appearance. And think about it in your life, right? Imagine the difference in your life. Imagine if you were welcoming to all, if people around you knew that you were going to welcome them in, even the ones in the middle of a struggle, even the ones that are going through a mess right now. Imagine that they knew that they could trust you and they could feel welcome with you. Imagine the influence that you would have, right? Imagine if they caught your passion for God, right? Imagine if your kids, your coworkers, your neighbors, imagine if they caught your passion for God, and imagine the change in their life that could happen because of you, because they saw something in you. Imagine instead of arguing what type of method is best or what type of restriction or type of tradition is best, right? Instead of arguing these things, what if we just agreed on the message and allowed it to touch and reach other people, right? What if we did that? What if we worship God for who he is, not based on how we desire to worship? Imagine living a life of justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Imagine living a life of generosity and caring for others. Imagine being so full of joy on the inside that it oozed out, right? That it came so much that it burst out of us. Instead of passing judgment on to others, we passed along grace. Like, this is what it looks like to be Jesus. This is who Jesus was. And this is what he's calling us to be as well. Spiritual is defined as being like Jesus. And here's how we do this. It's actually a lot more simple than we ever make it to be. To become like Jesus. Not just to look, not just to act, not just to appear, but to actually become like Jesus. It all breaks down with one simple thing. It's to love. Right? There's a great course that I love, and it says this. It says, they will know that we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they will know that we are Christians by our love. Love is what makes the difference. Love is what takes us from just trying to appear to actually becoming. And the truth is, it's the command of Jesus. We started off this sermon saying that, you know what, to be Christian, to be spiritual, we have to obey the commands of Jesus. And here's the commands of Jesus right here in Matthew 22, 37 through 40. In fact, this is just right before, you back up a little bit, this is right before Jesus starts going off on the Pharisees. Yeah, the whole beginning portion sounds kind of like a downer, but Jesus is warning. He gave a simple command, says to love, right? And he says this, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Being spiritual begins and ends with love. Being like Jesus begins and ends with love. This is why we're called to love others to life change. We're called to love, and we first must do this. We first must love God. Jesus states the first and greatest commandment is to love God. Love God with all of who we are. Love him with all of our heart. Love him with all our soul. Love him with all of our mind. Right? We're called to be passionate about God, which means that we need to spend some time with him. We need to carve out some time with him. More than just making a check mark on a checklist to do, but actually spending time showing God that we love him. So listen, my challenge for you this week, my challenge for you is to love God. And here's how you can tangibly do that. For you, maybe you just need to set your alarm on your cell phone. In fact, you can do that right now. If you have your cell phone, set it up and set it for 10 minutes earlier. Just start with 10 minutes. Listen, the more you show God love, the probably more that will expand. But just start with 10 minutes. Wake up 10 minutes early. Spend time. Throw a worship song on. Read your Bible. Begin to pray and just show God how much you love him. Start with that. Love God. And then number two is to love others. To live like Jesus, we have to love others. To be spiritual, we have to love others. And the truth is, loving others can be super messy sometimes, right? Loving others can be a complete just disaster sometimes, because it can get us into trouble, can get us in places where we never really thought we wanted to go. And if you look at Jesus, Jesus was actually accused of not being spiritual because he loved others, because of the people he spent time with. But he still loved others. So we're called to love others. There's an incredible book by Gary Chapman called The Five Love Languages, and it shows how we express and receive love. There's five different ways it shows how we do this, and this is it. There's words of affirmation, there's physical touch, there's gifts, there's quality time, and there's acts of service. So think about this week. How can you show others that you love them? For you, I want to challenge you. Maybe for you, maybe you just need to encourage somebody else, right? Maybe you need to drop a note in the mail and send them a note just encouraging somebody else. Maybe you just need to drop a text message to encourage somebody else. Maybe you just need to pick up the phone and actually give somebody words of encouragement. But listen, do it. Share some words of affirmation with somebody. Share some encouragement. For you, maybe you just need to give someone a hug. Maybe you give some type of physical touch. And just a side note on this and just a warning, make sure that it's appropriate, right? Right. Let's throw that out there right there. And then make sure it's somebody that actually receives a physical touch and a hug in the right way. Like, there's some people that can't stand hugging. And I got hugged by like four or five people today. I'm getting better at it, but that's not one of my love languages. I know if you've ever met my dad, he'll hug you like crazy. But I don't know, skips a gene somewhere along the lines. But listen, make sure it's appropriate. But maybe you need to do that, right? Maybe there's somebody that you just need to hug. Maybe for you, maybe you need to give a gift to somebody. Right? Maybe this week, instead of just buying your own coffee, buy the person behind you's coffee as well, right? Maybe instead of buying your own breakfast, buy the person's breakfast behind you, right? Give a gift to somebody and just show that you love them, right? Share and with them and be able to love others. Maybe for you, you need to spend time with somebody. And again, I will say this, just a side note, make sure it's somebody appropriate. Listen, like, don't be hanging out with somebody else's spouse. Just going to throw that out there, right? Spend time with your own spouse. Show them love. If you're single and they're single, that's okay, but let's check your motives a little bit too, okay? But maybe you need to spend time with somebody. Maybe you need to just to go on a walk with somebody, take them out to coffee, but spend time, show somebody love by spending time with them. Maybe you need to serve somebody, right? Maybe you need to make a meal and take it over to them. Maybe you need to serve even within the church. Right? We can always jump in and be a part of Life Changes Serve Team. Listen, maybe you need to serve the kids' life. Kids' Life is revamping for January, and what they're going to do is they're actually investing more in kids and making the kids' life really into small groups so that we can make an even bigger impact in some of these kids and some of these students. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you just need to serve somebody. But listen, whatever it is, do it. Love others. Truth is, being spiritual is not about how great you look, but sometimes it's about how great you make others look. Love others. And number three is to love yourself. Right, this may sound weird, but the truth is you can't love yourself. You can't love others if you don't love yourself, right? Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, how are you ever going to show that to your neighbor? How are you ever going to show others that, right? And to love yourself, what we have to do is we have to embrace God's love for us. God views us as awesome. God views us as precious. God views us as valuable. And you know what? We need to do the same. We need to look in the mirror. Instead of seeing us maybe with all our past flaws, instead of seeing us really how we see ourselves, we need to allow God to give us lens to see ourselves how he sees us so that we can love ourselves. We have to get to the point where we say, you know what? If God loves me, then I can love me as well. So we might not have it all together. We might not be perfect, but we can still have love for ourselves. We can extend that same forgiveness that God has shown each and every one of us. So Jesus took the punishment for each and every one of us, so we don't need to beat ourselves up anymore. What we need to do is we need to love ourselves. So think about it. What's holding you back? Maybe for you, maybe this week, maybe you need to forgive yourself of something that you've done in the past. Maybe for you, it goes a little bit beyond that. Instead of just forgiving, maybe you even need to repent of something. Maybe you continue making the same mistake over and over, the same sin, but it's time to repent. Turn away from that way, right? Maybe you need to do that so that you can love yourself. Maybe for you, maybe you just need to give yourself a break. I think oftentimes we're our hardest critic, right? There's times where we just need to give ourselves a break so that we can love ourselves. Spiritual is defined as being like Jesus. Spiritual is defined as keeping his commands. Again, 1 John 2, 3 through 6 says, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. And his commands are simple. It's to love. Love God, love others, and love yourself. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for speaking to us. God, we're thankful for even sometimes where, God, you have hard words, where Jesus, where you say some things that really push us and make us feel uncomfortable. But what we want to get us to is to the core of who you are, so that we can become more and more like you. God, I pray that we can continue to show our love for you. I pray that we can continue to show our love for others and that we can love ourselves as well. And God, I pray right now for the one that maybe never experienced your love, God. God, I pray right now that if they're here today and maybe they've never experienced your love, or maybe they walked away but they want to, God, I pray for them. God, I pray right now that they will receive that love from Jesus Christ and they'll receive Christ as their Lord and Savior in their life and they can live that out. God, that's the first step to becoming more. That's the first step to being spiritual. God, we thank you for paving the way. We thank you for giving your son to be that connection piece. God, we love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.